It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show on 860 AM WNOB and W293 CX 106.5. Wherever you may be listening, however you may be listening, whether on those particular stations, the TuneIn app, the Simple Radio app, the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, radio tab on the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com website or anywhere in between, we are happy to have you along. We are live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I am your host. Besides me is my wife, co-host, best friend, gardening partner.
Holly Baird.
The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com is your destination for over 965 garden-related videos, digital magazines, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and a whole lot more. So let's get into six ways in which you can lessen the stress on your garden. We're getting rain every 3 to 5 hours now, middle of July. August is typically one of the hotter months here and leading into early September. So in order to lessen the stress on your garden, that's going to increase the productivity and make your plants happier and make you happier because you're getting more out of your garden. Now, when I talk about lessen the stress, I'm talking about when the temperature was 75 or 80 degrees yesterday, and today it's now 93 to 105 type of thing. The fluctuation, that increase of temperature and humidity, is a shock to a lot of plants. So by doing these six steps, that will decrease some of that stress on those plants and make them grow better, more productivity. So
I think the number one thing here is to consistently water, and it's when you water. And that's important because if you water during the midday, that's not going to be as effective as in the morning.
Right. And I know we have jobs, and we can't all access the water that we need to water the plants at the time. So what we can, you know, timers, irrigation, that type of thing. But the reason why you want to choose the morning is because the plants have had all night to relax, and they are stress-free. So you water in the morning, the plants are able to uptake the water that is needed, and then it can prepare for those hot days. If you water in the afternoon, top water, bottom water, or whatever, it's not that the water is going to get on the plants' leaves and burn the plants' leaves. We've debunked that. That has nothing to do with it. What happens is the evaporation of the above-ground sprinkler system, or the water that gets on the soil, it will compete with the plant because the evaporation of the heat, the plant's trying to suck the water in, the plant's stressed, it needs the water, it really hurts the plant. And also when these day temperatures get extremely high, a lot of your plants will stop production. Peppers and tomato flowering will stop. And some of these cool weather crops, such as lettuce, will bolt because of the heat. It's the longevity of the day has a little bit to do with it, but the heat will put that plant in a reproductive state, which when I mean bolt, it puts on a central stalk and begins to flower in like 24 to 48 hours, and those flowers will turn into seed. And the leaves are very bitter, and you can't eat them anymore. So by watering in the morning, that will enable the plant to be hydrated properly for the day to come with the heat.
Right.
Another one is?
It would be density planting, and that's planting close together. Leaves create shade over the soil and keeps the soil cool. So it might be too late for that. But if you're planting for the fall, that's something you could do because we never really know what kind of fall we're going to get.
It's going to be a long one or it's going to be a short one.
Right. So
we've been done in the middle of October before, and last year we ran to almost the week of Thanksgiving.
Right. So you have to keep that in mind. Now you don't have to worry about the heat as much, but if you do have a nice soil cover, that's going to give you some less weeds.
Right. It prevents the sun from exposing the soil with the sunlight. It reduces the evaporation because it's basically an umbrella over that soil, and less sun. Weeds kind of need sunlight to germinate and grow, and if you shade those out, that's really going to reduce the amount of weeds that you have in your garden. Densely plant, and I'll briefly go over this. Let's say the back of the seed packet says you plant a row of, you plant kale every, and this is not true, I'm just putting these numbers out so we can all have a visual image of this. A plant every 12 inches and then a row every 18 inches so you can walk through. Densely plant would mean you plant your kale plants every 8 inches and put your row instead of 18 inches apart, about 12 inches apart. So it has this just shrubbery of plants so the ground is covered. That's what densely planting means. And that can be for any variety of plants. Things you want to not densely plant, tomatoes would be one of them because the diseases can jump from plant to plant very easily. Would be your most don't do, but we've already planted our tomatoes, so we don't have to worry about that.
I think squash.
Squash, it can be good and can be bad because of the powdery mildew that can form on it, which we will discuss next week on the program. Another one is let's not fertilize when it's super hot. Fertilization is something we encourage because maybe our soil is not as fertile as it could be. Now, this can be granular fertilizer, liquid fertilizer, synthetic, organic, compost teas, but you don't want to do it when it's about 82, 83 degrees or higher. The reason why is the plants in those temperatures that exceed, I'm saying 82 because the buffer is about 85 and above. When these plants get in a very heat-stricken situation, they want to shut down. Just like you, if you're working and it's 105 degrees with 90% humidity, you kind of want to do minimal amount of work. You might have to do something, but the plants also want to shut down. And also, you'll see the leaves get really wilty. That's just a defense mechanism they have. It's just like a solar panel. If a solar panel has rounded edges, it's not going to absorb as much sunlight. The same thing is true with these plants. Corn, tomatoes, beans, squashes will all get real limp, like they're really lacking water, but that's just the way they prevent themselves from getting burnt up.
That makes sense.
By fertilizing them, you're telling that plant, I know you're stressed, or I know it's hot, but I need you to keep working. So it's going to overstress that plant and actually hurt it in the long run. So wait until the temperatures, if you do need to fertilize, wait until the temperatures are cooler, below 80 to 82 degrees Fahrenheit, before you decide to feed those plants, whether a foliar feed, sprayed on the leaves, or liquid or granular feed for the roots. What's another one we want to avoid?
Harvesting before a heat wave.
Harvesting before the heat wave, you want to do that, let's say, for example, tomorrow it's supposed to be, and it's not, but let's say tomorrow is supposed to be extremely hot, let's say 93, 95. If you can go in there and harvest your crops today, that's going to reduce a tremendous amount of stress on your plants, because a plant will take 3 to 4 times more energy to keep a tomato or a zucchini or a pepper healthy, the fruit, on the plant. If you can remove that prior to a heat wave, you're going to reduce a 3 to 4 time percent energy energy put out towards protecting that fruit and keeping it on the plant, because the plant doesn't care if you're eating its tomatoes or its peppers or its green beans. It's looking at creating seeds to carry on the genetics for the next generation, just the way nature has planned it and made it work. So it doesn't care. It's trying to keep those seeds viable, healthy, and then at a certain point it would drop the fruit if we didn't pick it, and it would have those seeds go to dormancy until next spring. So we don't want to fertilize. We don't want to harvest when it's hot. We want to harvest before the heat comes, and that will make it much easier on the plants and you. Because you don't want to be harvesting when it's hot outside, and you probably would avoid that. And then your zucchini, if you've ever grown zucchini, your 8-inch zucchini has now become the size of a baseball bat in about 14 hours. And we're going to cover what you can do with that when you have that excessive size zucchini in the next segment. Another thing we want to talk about.
Mulch.
Shade cloth first.
Okay.
What is shade cloth?
Shade cloth is... it's a cloth. It's got like little holes in it, basically.
It's a fabric.
It's a fabric. It's thin, and it you can buy it at most garden centers, and it helps give your garden shade, but it still allows sunlight to come through.
There is 20% shade cloth, 30, 40, 50. That's the amount of sunlight it reduces the plants getting on it. Now, why would you want to keep your plants from getting sunlight?
Well, if you're in a high sun area, maybe you have a very open area, and you get a lot of intense sun. Yes, you want that intense sun, but during the peak of the summer right now, that could be problematic.
Also, if you're trying to get lettuce to grow in the lettuce is heat sensitive and daylight sensitive, so you can put that shade cloth over, let's say 50% shade cloth over top of that area where the lettuce is. Now that lettuce is thinking that
you can kind of trick your lettuce.
It's reduction of sunlight by 50%, which means the intensity is down 50%, which means heat is down by a significant amount, and that's going to prolong the life of some of these cool weather crops. So it's not a mandatory thing. A lot of people don't do it, but you can create a shade cloth tent or hoop, and it will do very well. We've never played around with it, but it's something that you can look into if you're really wanting to be, you know, into this thing,
right,
about reducing the stress. And finally,
so mulch and mulch. And mulch is great for many reasons. One is it suppresses weeds. It helps keep the moisture in your soil. But then it also can decrease the soil temps by 3 to 5 degrees.
Which is tremendous when it's in the middle of the summer and your soil temperature is in that borderline where, you know, let's say 75, 80 degrees. You knock that down 5 degrees. You're back down to 70. You're back in a root zone control, temperature zone for the roots that the plants are happy with, they like. Mulch can be anything from chemical-free, seed-free grass clippings to, well, we don't have leaves. You can use straw. You can use shredded paper. It's not the most eye-appealing, but it does work.
I think you have the best access to probably straw at this point.
And grass clippings. Well, and grass clippings. That hasn't been weed and feed chemically treated.
And dry grass clippings. Yeah. But, yeah, definitely something to consider, especially starting this fall. Think about if you want to start mulching your garden next year, think about collecting those leaves.
And wood chips, I would only recommend using wood chips in an area that is a perennial bed, such as maybe rhubarb or potentially strawberries or asparagus, things like that, because wood chips will break down. They will rob the soil of nitrogen, and then you've got a whole other issue on your hands. Now, if you're doing a back-to-Eden garden thing, that's a whole other separate topic that we can cover at a later date.